Welcome to Marketing Wins, How Real Brands Move Forward. I'm Valerie Morris, and on each episode, we dive into real topics with real people about how they're getting their next little or big win in marketing. If you're new to the show, go ahead and hit subscribe on whatever podcast player you are listening to right now. That way, you will not miss a single episode of Marketing Wins. Hey, thanks so much for joining me today. I am really thrilled to have my friend Nir Hindi with us today. He is just an artist at heart, and he is spreading that art all over the world. And I had the pleasure of meeting him. You know, he had traveled halfway around the world where I met him, and he calls home Spain at the moment. So he's just got some really fun perspective that I'm really excited to share. So Nir, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, you're sitting here, for those of us that maybe aren't watching and they're listening, you've got a t-shirt on that said art is a mindset. You've got your brand behind you, the Artian. Like, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're doing with that and how you're bringing art into the world and into the workplace.
First of all, you know, you already kind of gave me the opening. Artist at heart, I think it's what represents me, because I don't consider myself as an artist. Mm-hmm. For me, art, as my t-shirt says, is a mindset. It's a way of thinking. And the way I bring it into the business world is through different avenues. I speak about these topics as a keynote speaker. I bring it into my storytelling coaching that I do with the founders, and I teach it in business schools, because I think that in a world that is so obsessed with engineering thinking, we are missing opportunity to bring more into the table by tapping into the artistic and creative thinking. So thank you for saying artist by heart, because I won't take the role of an artist in our society.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I remember you saying that you didn't really see yourself as an artist, which I thought was a really interesting piece, considering what you're bringing to all these groups, especially adults who don't necessarily think in an artistic way. I mean, I even consider myself a little bit of an artist at times, and yet I don't have the time always to embrace and dive into that creative side of my brain like I would like to. So, you know, it's just interesting that you kind of have that perspective of just artist at heart, and you're bringing it to the masses. So, what do you feel like is one of the biggest struggles or roadblocks when you're you know, talking to classes or talking to adults, doing workshops, some of these things with them? What's kind of the common big roadblock that people have in just kind of shifting their thinking?
Listen, I think, you know, in order to answer this question, I need to go to the end of the 18th century with the Industrial Revolution, when actually we needed to kind of start to produce factory employees. And the whole education system was designed to serve it. And that's where, with this came specialization. And with this came, you know, let's focus on the science, engineering, math, and et cetera. So everything in our life basically asks us to choose. What are you, creative or analytical thinker? Are you engineer or an artist? Are you left brain, right brain? So I think that for many people, it kind of became self-fulfilling prophecy that, you know, it's like, I'm not good in being creative, or I'm not good in art, so it's not for me. And then they leave it behind. But the most beautiful thing that I always tell people, just look at your kids or your nephews. Before they get to the age of 6 or 7, we will always say they are so creative, they are so fun, they are so playful. And then we and the education system start to beat it out of them, you know, this creativity. So I think, yeah, it starts with the education. On the flip side, and maybe over here I will add, oftentimes when I see creative people, or people that, for that matter, art, design, culture is part of their who they are and identity, even though they are business hardcore, you will see that their parents show them that being both is totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's fine, it's normal.
Yeah.
So education, I don't want to say everything is the education system, but oftentimes when I speak to people, it's also the education that you give at home.
Yeah.
If you will communicate to your kids or if you will communicate to your employees that the arts, the creativity, this inspiration are important, as important as other things, people won't need to choose. The opposite. Yeah. You will create a more holistic employees, people in the world.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I grew up hearing people say like, oh yeah, I'm not creative or I'm not good at math. And it's kind of this either or mentality when why can't it be both? Why can't you be creative and really good at math or great at chemistry and great at art at the same time? And I mean, when you and I were sitting there talking at the conference we met at, I mean, so many examples in, I know you work a lot with tech companies and going into those spaces. A lot of those folks are extremely intelligent on a very left brain technical side of things. But in order to innovate and come up with new ideas, that's creativity. That's art happening right there. It's just not necessarily colors and paintbrushes and canvases. The materials, the palette is maybe code or, you know, something more quote unquote technical, but it's still creativity that has to happen for us to be able to innovate. So are you seeing people's minds shift a little bit more in those industries in the tech space where people are kind of with this innovation mindset?
Listen, first of all, I think it's important to kind of maybe double click on what you just said, because I do think that creativity exists in other disciplines. It's not to say creativity is only if you know how to paint or no. I can show you artists that are technically excellent, but in many ways I won't consider them artists. Mm-hmm. Because for me, art is about pushing the boundaries. It's about bringing the human element. It's about kind of going into the unknowns. It's about experimentation. It's about using human intuition. It's not only creativity. Creativity, it's part of it. And that's why oftentimes, you know, if I'll go back to your question about the tech, oftentimes I feel that we are living in times that many companies put humans at the service of technology instead of putting it on the other way around. Mm. Technology at the service of people. And the best example for me in many ways is Disney. Disney never was on the very on a search to invent sound in animation. No, he wanted to create animation as exciting, as emotionally kind of inspiring. And part of it was to add color. Part of it was to add music. And in order to make the experience incredible, he needed to bring music into the animation. And later when he created Fantasma, I think, mm-hmm. he didn't want you to listen it only from two speakers. He wanted you to immerse yourself into classic music. So he invented surrounded system. He wasn't after let's invent surround system. He was like, let's create the best human experience that will evoke emotions.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do that? So there are a lot of creative engineers, for sure. My question is, can we create more emotional connections? And this, not necessarily the code will give us, is human will give us. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say there is a concept, there is a discipline, there is a way of thinking and creating that I call business artistry. It's not about the creativity only. It's everything around humans, which is the emotion, the intuition, the inspiration, you know, it's the storytelling. Mm-hmm. Because you can get, I always say that, you know, technological issues can always be solved. But if you get the story wrong, you might miss the whole,
whole
concept,
point.
The essence of what you do. Exactly.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm just thinking of so many different applications. I mean, in marketing, it's all about story. And it's, yeah. you can get the tech wrong, but if the story's wrong, gosh, You have the best technology in the world, and it's not gonna deliver.
You have a very, famous shoe company that in the last 4 years, 4 years from now, thought that data will help them, just to lose $100 billion in market cap, because data can tell you what's working. It cannot tell you what's matter, and stories tell you what's matter to humans.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, I'm gonna have to marinate on that idea a lot, because I've got to drive later today, so I'm gonna definitely be thinking about that concept of what you just shared, because that is gold right there. Wow. Okay, this is great, and I know you get really energized. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it just in your mannerisms as you're talking about this, and it's great that you get to do this day in and day out. I love it. So tell us a little bit. You go and you do these trainings, you go to speak to classes, you go speak to groups, you've built this up, and tell us a little bit about kind of the evolution of how you've positioned yourself. Cause I know you go and speak to a lot of like corporations as well. And, getting into those kinds of spaces is different than just selling to a consumer on the street.
Yeah.
So are there things that you've done intentionally as you've built your own business, your own brand there, that have served you well?
Listen, first of all, I'll tell you something. Trying to bring a concept like business artistry is a challenge by itself, because it doesn't exist. I need to invent it. And I'm still in the process, maybe 20 years after I kind of got into it, and 9 years after I started to doing it professionally, I'm still in the process of defining it for myself. So off the bat, that's by itself kind of creating a whole of set of challenges. So the first thing that I think worked for me is that I found believers. Mm-hmm. It's like, I remember one of the things that when I met one of, after just after MBA, I met one of the professors in the school, and I always like to give this an example. He never was my professor. He never saw me speaking. He never heard my ideas. We met for a coffee. After I finished, he told me, "Nir, I don't understand what you want to do, but I feel that it's important, and I will give you opportunity to speak to my executive education class." And that was an action of grace, someone that bet on you. So the first thing that I think is that find your believers.
Mm-hmm.
The second part that I kind of leverage to build or get exposure of these ideas to more people is that leveraging, I'm very resourceful because I never held a job. So as an entrepreneur all my life, I always need to be very resourceful. So through one of my contacts, I got into the Google campus in Madrid, which is a campus for entrepreneurs. And because I believe that artists and tech, at least tech in my own world, because I think what I'm talking about relevant to finance, to banking, to manufacturing, whatever it is, I wanted to create a space that artists and entrepreneurs can actually meet.
Yeah.
And I came to Google Campus and I told them, let's start to do an event. Everyone told me, do it in a gallery. I didn't want to do it in a gallery, because in a gallery, I will get the art world, but I wanted to expose the tech world. So Google Campus team told, very open, very supportive, told me, Nir, let's do it once a year. I told them, no. If we want to create something impactful, it has to be consistent, and we create the momentum. So I took it upon myself to do events every month.
Wow.
And every month, I brought an artist that worked with technology in a unique way. I brought business leader that actually has artistic background. And we had conversation trying to expose this way of thinking. And very quickly, it became kind of one of the most growing communities in the Google campus. And as a consequence, I was invited to kind of speak and share what I did with the Google for Entrepreneurs global team. They loved it and told me, let's do something together. And together we created the Google Creativity Week, bringing for 1 week artists and entrepreneurs kind of interacting together. So that's something that kind of worked very well to try and create meaningful collaboration. And also it was kind of a confirmation for me to test my ideas. Maybe I'm, that's the difference between vision and illusion. you know, maybe I'm the only one that sees it, but the moment it became a big community, people that are passionate, okay, so maybe I'm not that crazy.
Yeah.
And the kind of the evolution of this, if trying to give more ideas how to think about your own marketing, I always try to understand where can I add value. So I came to the biggest startup conference here in Spain, one of the biggest one. It's called South Summit. I came to the founder, and she's very open-minded and incredible woman. And the thing about startup conferences is basically all of them are the same. All of them will speak about the current technology. 3 years ago, it was Web3 and blockchain. Today, it's AI. Everyone speaks about the same. And I told her, why don't we try to bring different way of thinking about technology? And she was open it, invited me to curate a full vertical on the intersection of art and technology. I invited artists from all over. And that was a different kind of way to expose the brand. And the most important part for your listeners, if you're going to do that, make sure to document it. I hired my own team, photographers and videographer, etc. And I'll be happy to share the links to these events that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So this is kind of to be resourceful, trying to add value and testing your own ideas in the world.
Yeah. Well, and then so important, like you just said, get the documentation, get the proof of what you did, get the photos of you speaking on stage with a Google sign behind you, or, you know, some of those scenarios where once you have a social proof of any kind, but especially of a large company like Google, then it's probably opened other doors for you to be able to just have instant credibility with a prospective client, prospective opportunity, because they see, oh, well, Google trusted him. We could trust him. His material is relevant on some level already.
I'll tell you something, Valerie. The thing about the life of an entrepreneur is I wish it was that easy. Some people look at it and tell me, Google can afford it because they have a lot of money. We don't. Mm-hmm. So he's for the rich and famous. It's not true. You know, I always I had companies in the past that also invited me, very small companies. And for me, two things that I learned from it. One, it's not about companies, it's about people. There are no such thing creative companies. There are only creative people. And people that believed in that invited me. Second, creativity, it's a matter of commitment. It's not only a matter of resources. You don't need to be Google to create something meaningful. Yeah,
exactly.
So those are things that I wanted, I felt, urge to respond to that, because I don't want people to think that the moment you have Google, all the world come to you. The opposite, it can also work against you.
Yes.
Oh, it's so expensive that only Google can afford it. So.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. I was on a call yesterday where we were talking about, you know, this group, they'd done this really great pilot program, and they'd gotten great feedback from people just, you know, live in the event, you know? And I just asked the question of, so what's the follow-up plan? What's your plan to get testimonials? Could you get some of these people to record it, even if it's just on their phone, record a video talking about how great the experience was? What's the plan for follow-up to get this kind of social proof? And that's the way I think of it. Because whether it's Google or, you know, mom and pop shop down the street, if you have the testimonial, it's great. It's great social proof to somebody else of saying, oh, at least two other people or one other person has trusted Valerie with XYZ, so I can trust her. And whether you share if it's Google or not, it's funny because I've seen that same psychology work with people of just, oh, they're too big, or they're too expensive, or they're too small. Like it's so hard to kind of get it right for every single person. But I think what you said though is so important of when you have those opportunities to be ready to seize those opportunities, whether it's with just a photograph, you know, even better if you can get video and testimonials, but just get a photo of you out in the wild doing your thing. And that is enough to help just show people subconsciously that you are out doing the work, that you are actually doing the thing you say you can do. So I love that you pulled that out.
Yeah, it's also important for yourself to remind yourself your progress.
Yes.
You know, if I look at what I have achieved, you know, it's like when you are deep in the weeds, I think you say, you know, for that matter, it's hard for you to say, to see your progress. So, you know, it's kind of go into part of your encouragement folder that you remind yourself that what you have done.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. I need to hear that just as much as the next person. So thank you for saying that. So before we hit record, we were talking a little bit about kind of the dilemma between, do you position yourself as the personal brand or as the brand name? And I have the same thing. I purposely did not name my company Valerie Morris Consulting. I purposely named it Tintero Creative because I wanted it to be something that was broad enough to grow with me and broad enough to, you know, I could sell it someday or whatever. I have options, right? But as I've grown, I've learned that I'm mainly the face of the brand for, you know, and have been for a while. And so I think you've experienced a little bit of that. Do you want to share a little bit about your journey there of just kind of building a brand name versus building up near Hindi?
Yeah. Listen, you know, it's like for me, I look at the, so today I'll tell you how I look at it today. Maybe I look at, so today Nir is the face, Nir is the inspiration. Artian, the company, is the mechanism of delivery. So in the Artian, I do have people working with me, but it doesn't have to be the name. They don't need to have the, for that matter, to be on the front. So in a way, today it's even beneficial. But I had a lot of questions because, as you just rightly so mentioned, is that when you have a brand which is not you for that matter, it gives you more opportunity to have more people working under the brand, to have more relationship being by the brand. And also, you know, from psychological point of view, people look at it as more, it's a bigger, more serious if you have a brand.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what I learned is that, you know, people get connected to people. So, you know, the people that invite me, I'm positive, don't even remember that on my invoice there is the name The Artian, or that I even have a website called The Artian. They remember Nir. So now I'm not trying to work against it. You know, I'm working with it. And actually, I'm just now kind of started to separate it officially. So I will have my own website, The Artian will have their website, and we will have a big family together.
Oh, I see this on a regular basis too, especially on LinkedIn. A lot of people, you know, they want to build up their company profile, their company page, and that's great. It's helpful in so many ways. But a lot of sales leaders and kind of other people that are in leadership within a company realize that they have a whole network that has benefit to the company. And so I've helped kind of reframe their thinking of, yes, your personal profile can be used for more than just looking for a new job. You can use it to network and to position yourself as an expert. And whether you stay at this company forever or you move on, or it's your own company. And, you know, there's so many different applications to, whether it's sales or investors or just opening doors, connections, meeting new people, new prospective employees. There's so many reasons why people could leverage their personal profile and have a company page and presence on LinkedIn. And like you said, people like to connect with people. So those doors open up a little bit more easy when you're trying to connect person to person remotely versus company to person. So, and for someone like you that you're based there in Spain, but I know you travel all over to do these trainings and your consulting. So for you, the digital space is, you know, a pretty big playground for you, or at least that's what I've observed in, you know, staying connected with you since we met at the conference this past fall. Are there things that you do intentionally with your online presence to make sure you're showing up, and what's working for you right now?
You know, the whole world, the whole thing about social media, it's a big question mark for me that I never was able to figure it out. I'm not like the one, the success story is that, oh, I jumped on this platform and 3 months after I have 100,000.
Right.
I think that, you know, it's a hard kind of day in, day out. And I'll tell you one thing that I did in the last year. So I think one of the things that kind of helps a lot is consistency. Okay. But consistency with value. It's something very important, and maybe that's something worth even discussing. Yeah. But let me take maybe a step back. As I told you, you know, business artistry is not something that you can actually just go read a book and you will know what is it, because there are no books about it. So one of the things I decided from a marketing also standpoint, but most importantly from a personal standpoint, is that last May I decided that I'm going to write every week. Now, for someone that is not English native, I can't stress how hard this task was, at least for me, before even the AI tools. AI tools unlocked definitely a lot more, and that's one of the reasons I'm able to publish. But it's not to say that you can delegate the storytelling, the thinking, etc. So I use Substack weekly newsletter as first and foremost to kind of articulate my own thinking for myself.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's my way to stay connected with the people that are interested in that. And the thing that I take from my Substack, I bring them back to LinkedIn. And that's something that, again, I'm publishing. So I'm trying to build the muscle first of commitment and consistency. And I don't try to kind of tell myself if I'll hit 3,000 followers, I'm successful or not. The success for me, first and foremost, is that's me, Nir, non-English native, sitting down few hours a week and putting something into the world. And I'll tell you maybe a story, because you see the people that cannot see it, but this is a book I published in Japan like 6 years ago. And I'm not a writer, okay? Today, I think I'm much better writer than when I published it. And in many ways, you know, I was kind of, I don't want to say, I was kind of concerned. I mean, because I'm not in native English, and back then there wasn't AI, etc. But at the end of the day, I told myself, at least I have the courage to put myself out there and getting good reviews and getting bad reviews. But at least, you know, I take the step forward.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And as someone who's put out a book as well, 6 years ago as well, I think, it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to put your thoughts out there, and even more scary as a non-native English speaker. I just have
This is in Japanese. I need to trust the translator.
I'm even in more
awe. I don't even know what's written.
You don't know. You're like, I hope this is what I wrote.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, it's very scary to put yourself out there. I think that's, you know, coming kind of full circle, I think that's maybe one of the things that holds people back when they think about putting art into their work, whether it's, you know, solving a problem or actually creating maybe a sculpture or a painting or something. It's scary to think about doing something new, something that feels very personal, vulnerable, something where people could criticize this. They could say this is a bad idea. They could say this is a bad way to do it. And I think getting over that fear. And so, like, I love your shirt where you say art is a mindset, because it's so true. It's the mindset, I think, that holds a lot of us back. And tapping into the art in our thinking and how we're wired can help us move past some of that fear and move on to making some great things. So I enjoy seeing all of your content. I think I'm only getting it on LinkedIn. Maybe I need to see. Still dipping my toes in Substack, but I do get your stuff. I do get your stuff on LinkedIn, and I do appreciate seeing all that. And I can attest to the consistency. I've been very impressed by that piece of it. So that's great. Yeah. Nir, before we get going, do you have any tip, simple or complicated? Simple, maybe more easily attainable, but any tips for anyone listening today who's like, I want to practice this focus or attention on how to bring art into my day a little bit more. Do you have any words of wisdom for us?
Listen, I think, I don't have it over here. You know, there was an art week. Sorry, I tend to go into stories, storytelling. So there was an art week this weekend, and I went to one of those fairs, and over there I met an artist that I actually met a few years back, and she works with words. And I bought from her a small piece of words that in Spanish say observar, mm-hmm. but in the center of it, the way it's spelled, it's ser, which means to be. Mm-hmm. And for me, if you ask me about first and foremost, being artful is being present in the world and being observant. And it goes beyond mindfulness. We can speak about this as well, because every time I mention it, immediately people ask me about mindfulness. Because if you think about even in my own passion is the visual arts. What is the visual arts? Before you even have a language to describe what you see, you need to use your eyes. And I think that the moment you go and observe with intention, you know, you discover, as cliche as I might sound, and I'm sorry if I'm sound cliche for the listeners, but you will discover the beauty of the world. You know, it's in small things. You know, people that take the effort to make this entry to the building a bit nicer, people that, you know, just smile to you when you pay. It's like, you know, art can be not only on the wall. I don't want to be sound like philosophical, but
I wrote this down near, I have a little notebook that I write down like the gold sound bites that I hear from people as encouragement. And that phrase of just kind of being art, to be artful is to be present. That concept, I think, is one of the biggest things of just, we just need to slow down a little bit in how we're observing the world around us. And we'll see opportunities for art in that. So I'm taking that with me today, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll share with you the image of this artist, Maria.
I can't wait to see it, because I know a decent amount of Spanish. So when you mentioned the word ser, S-E-R, yeah. I can visualize how that works in that word. So
observing is basically in Spanish, the way she played with it, observing is actually being.
Is to here. Be. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also, this is getting nerdy, but ser versus estar, ser is more of the permanent.
Exactly.
Being, not exactly. The state of being. It's like the essence of who you are versus I feel tired versus I am tired. So anyways, that's there's some deep meaning there. Okay, wonderful. Okay. Languages, another topic for another day.
Yeah.
Nir, before we get going, if people want to get more from you, maybe get your Substack, connect with you on LinkedIn, what's the best place for people to connect with you to learn more?
So first of all, LinkedIn, Nir Hindi, H-I-N-D-I-E, and N-I-R. So that's easy. And then if you type, I think, in Google, just business artistry, you will get to my Substack. And I used to record the podcast, but I stopped few. I took a break, but it's a long break now. So you will find these both information. So
great. Well, thank you, Nir. I appreciate you coming on and sharing, and just and so many ideas now swirling in my head. So I'm very much looking forward to having some white space today to process so much of it. So thank you for sharing and coming on and just inspiring more art in our day-to-day lives.
Thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to share what business artistry is even means.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a new concept. You're the pioneer. And for all of us who see the phrase business artistry in the world in the future, you know where it first started. So you heard it here first. Thanks so much, Nir.
Thank you. Thanks.
If you're new to the show, go ahead and hit subscribe on whatever podcast player you are listening to right now. That way, you will not miss a single episode of Marketing Wins.